You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. ClockRadioSpeakers.com has all of our stuff. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, iTunes. We have a Sunday night mix show, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. on the pulse-radio.com that also gets replayed Monday nights from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. And I'm not the only person who does this show. So, hey, co-host.
Hey, co-host, what's going on?
Sup, bro?
Cool story. What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter. This is Doc, by the way. You can follow me on Twitter at Doc underscore beats. S, not a Z. I think you got everything. Just go to the website. Everything's there.
Everything's there. $5 fan, all that good stuff.
Help us help you. You know.
Yeah. Donate to the show. We're really putting it right back in. And we will make this this Clock Radio Speakers a memorable experience. A night to remember. Shades of Shalimar later.
I was going to say, have you been like chaperoning high school dances or something?
I did have a show at a middle school Valentine's Day dance a few weeks ago. So that was interesting.
Telling those young fellas, slow down.
Hey, my daughter and both my kids, not just my daughter, they're not allowed to go to those ever in life.
That's a very smart move.
Ever in life. Crazy. 13 years old. Why are you wearing high heels? Why are you wearing 4-5 inch high heels? That's not working.
Because they let's not even go there.
Yeah, let's not even go there.
Let's not even go there.
So obviously this week on the show, as we mentioned about our mix show, I think this mix show is pretty much self-explanatory. We're going to play all Black Hippie. So, you know, 2 hours of Kendrick, Absol, J-Rock.
Schoolboy.
And the two people that we're going to be talking about today, Schoolboy Q and Isaiah Rashad. A little bit of SZA too. She's got some joints. So before we get into that, is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Your man.
Who my man?
Skateboard P.
Yes.
Has decided, not only is he having an album coming out, which we all kind of knew, it's coming out in like a week.
A week. Same day as Ross. Who? I just realized that. I didn't realize that March 4th really is like next week, dog. That's crazy.
Yeah, we're going to... That's a really good usage of our new side A, side B concept for the show, I think.
Yep. One side will be Ross. The other side will be Pharrell. That'll be perfect. Now I'm hyped. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, that's coming fast.
That is super fast. See, I thought Pharrell was going to wait at least until like May, something like that. But yeah, May 4th or March 4th.
Yeah, that's
pre-orders immediately up. And he's already had the listening session.
Those reviews. Woo.
Now look, and this is what I told you on Twitter. Like, okay, first off, the one from The Guardian was crazy because they sent shots at Justin Timberlake. That was crazy. But the thing about Neptune's music is to be experienced. There's only so much that you can say. It's just that when you throw out words like Pharrell, Chad, Spy Mob.
Spy Mob.
What else did they say? Who else did they mention? Michael Jackson, Off the Wall. When you say stuff like that, it instantly puts me in a certain place. And I don't know if I want to go to that place only because I don't trust anybody to tell me that that's where they're going. I want the music to tell me that's where he's going.
See, the only thing I know is they dared to invoke In Search Of, which, you know, immediately got my antenna up. And I was like, oh.
And now, you know, for the people, In Search Of is one of your favorite albums of all time.
Of all time. That album.
All time.
When we had those dark days in the 2000s when there was some lean years, and I mean lean years.
That is a nice word.
NERD in that album, really. But NERD, that was, helped me get through it.
Sure. There were definitely a few people, NERD, Lil Brother. There was a couple people that were still G-Unit to an extent.
Yeah, for me, that was the kind of album where, like, there would just be times when nothing new was out, and I'd be like, oh, well. And I would just throw In Search of back on the iPod, and I was good.
Yeah.
So for them to invoke, specifically, they invoke songs like Provider, and I'm just like, oh, no. How dare you? Like, until I hear it, I'm thinking, how dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
So expectations are very high.
Very, very. Especially coming off of the year that Pharrell had last year. I'm really expecting, like, God, in my mind, times 50. And I probably shouldn't.
Don't expect that.
And what I mean by in my mind times 50, I mean, like, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, that Pharrell had a pretty good year following that up, too. So we thought that it was going to be one thing. It ended up being something else.
Mm.
But if he's continuing in this tradition of the type of music that he's making, he's hit a groove. So I want that groove to kind of be intensified. And to me, honestly, we talk about realistic expectations on this show.
Right.
I think that's a realistic expectation for Pharrell.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, you counter that with expectations around Ross, what expectations?
Did we talk about this? Did you and I talk about the snippets? I don't think we did. Like, okay, so Doc, I think maybe the day after the show went online, or maybe the day of, the snippets leaked.
Right.
And, you know, I sent them to Doc and we had a little dialogue, but, you know, we always know. I take snippets with a grain of salt only because one of my favorite albums in the last 10 years had horrible snippets, and that was American Gangster.
I almost never listened to snippets.
Yeah.
I actually skimmed the snippets, which just, God, that is, if that doesn't personify 2014.
Right.
You know,
skimming snippets.
It was moderately promising.
What's that, Ross?
Yeah.
It didn't, there were some joints?
Moderately promising.
Joints?
But he did release that Nobody song.
How do you feel about that record? Did we talk about that last week or no?
I don't know if we did. I can't remember. He should not have that. No.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not a Puffy. Bad record, but that's just not a record that you redo.
Not like
even
that.
Even Puff sounded uneasy on the hook. Like, he wasn't into it. He was like, yeah. When you on top, I want to bring you down. Yeah. It didn't feel right. Ross was trying to rap like Big.
Yeah, it didn't.
And that sucks because, again, Ross can rap. Well, maybe, Doc, was that our fault for, you know, Devil in the New Dress saying that reminded him of Biggie? Because that was general consensus. That wasn't just us, but, you know, a lot of people were saying that.
My issue with it, I mean, first of all, it's not a very inspired remake to me.
Yeah.
French on the Hook.
I was going to say, which?
No. Biggie's rolling over in his grave. Like, no, come on. I mean, here's the craziest thing.
I was really going to make a big joke, but I'm a chill.
That's probably not the worst thing that Puff's ever done to Big's legacy.
What's the worst thing that Puff has done to Big's legacy?
Biggie duets.
The Biggie duets. man. Jazzy fizzle, fizzle, fizzle.
Look, yeah, Jazzy Faye gets a lot of jokes in the show. Some of them are well-deserved, but he actually has...
He's got joints.
But he turned into a character of himself. But that's not even.
He was like the champion of the mid 2000s button up fitted combo. Like, I don't know if y'all remember when you could buy the button up and it came with the cufflinks.
No.
Like that. Oh my God. Yeah, like they would come with cufflinks in a box, and the box would be in a bag, like in a little baggie.
Where were you buying button ups?
The button up, son. the button-up craze made its way to swap meets. Every single, God, Harold Pinner. I'm trying to think of like all of the African-American hip-hop stores that used to sell. Like, you know what? It's funny because I kind of miss those. Like, because that's where I got my FUBU jersey. The FUBU jersey that had like it was the hoodie with the cities on it.
Right.
You had like West Coast, Dirty South. I had one that said St. Louis on it. I miss those, you know, the Rockaware with the different color stitching.
So I was gonna say sometimes the stitching on the front of these shirts were so heavy.
Yeah. So heavy. I miss that.
No, I
I don't know.
Those are days best forgotten.
We getting older, that's all.
What's going to be scary is when that comes back around.
No.
It will.
No.
Because we
don't
got time.
Speak that evil Ricky Bobby.
That's no, because right now, everybody's looking like they're trying to listen to Nirvana's first album. Like, we're, you know, 20 years, right? It's every 20 years. So that's going to put us, we're not too far away from that already. So Tommy Hill better start stockpiling.
Now the trend is the mid-90s. Like, 95 is the trend right now. So you got...
Yeah, like 94, 95, yeah.
You've got hockey jerseys coming back. A lot of camo. You know, things like that. So, you know, before you know it, we'll be back wearing shiny suits again.
Puff's ready.
Oh, you already know. He probably going to start it. He going to come out for one award show. You know, he's coming out with an album this year. So what better time than to do like the MTV Awards and come out with a shiny suit? Have Kelly Price.
Okay. Puff having an album in 2014. Talk about something that really... I don't even know what my expectations would be. It could be surprisingly good to terrifyingly awful.
I'm not going to say that because Puff is yet to release a whack album. The closest thing to a whack album was Forever, and Forever still had joints.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
What? No Way Out.
Right.
Dope. Forever had joints. Saga Continues had joints. What was the Press Play definitely had joints, and Dirty Money had joints. Nothing was whack. I mean, like, this isn't like for Bird, you know, Birdman.
Nah,
is
not Bird.
I saw that on World Star the other day. Birdman celebrates 45th birthday. Like, what? That's what we doing now. I gotta step my game up. I gotta buy some oil for the tattoo, like a octagon on the top of my head or something.
Forever is not good.
It's the worst of the three, but it still got joints. Journey to the light.
You're right. Reverse.
Reverse was dope.
All right, that's two.
No, see, I'm pulling up Spotify right now.
I'm on his Wikipedia page right now.
Sure you are, bro. So, hold on.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Forever. Boom. Satisfy You? I liked Fake Thug's Dedication.
It's okay.
Angels with Dirty Faces was cool. Gangsta-ish was dope. Pain was stupid dope. I really liked Pain.
Pain's okay.
Reverse was dope. Real N-Words was dope. Journey Through the Life was dope.
Don't even say Best Friend was dope.
Is that the one with the sample, the 80s joint, the Christopher Cross joint?
I think so. Yeah, Sailing. That's what you're looking for.
Sailing. Where is Mario Winans? Just curious. Feels like he owes, you know, him and Ryan Leslie like need to have like a duel to the death.
Ryan Leslie took his spot.
He did. Who took Ryan Leslie's spot? Dream?
Dream did more. Dream did more.
Did more with it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Leslie got to be one of the hardest working guys ever. Just never really, you know.
Just didn't pan out for him. And that sucks because he's incredibly talented.
Absolutely. All right, so we're supposed to be talking about TDE, right?
Yeah. So I'm hype. I'm hype off next week. Ross and Pharrell. That's going to be a dope show. But yeah, you want to get straight into TDE?
I mean, is there anything else we can talk about? I feel like kind of a slow week.
Could be. Yeah, could be.
We talked about Pharrell getting an album, you know, 11 songs. Looks like he's really on his pop R&B thing with this.
Yeah. That's kind of what I want, though. Maybe like a few hip-hop records, but I want like a lighthearted R&B album, pop album that I can play through the summer. That's what I want.
Mm. I mean, yeah. I think that's what you get. Trying to think, anything else really going on right now?
Not really. Not really. WWE Network. Galaxy S5 came out. I don't really want to talk about either one of those right now. To be honest with you.
All right, so let's start with talking about this Isaiah Rashad album, because this came out a little while ago. We never really got to it.
Yep.
I don't think we really need to go track by track.
Thank you.
But
appreciate it.
Tell me how you really feel about it.
No, I mean, you know, I actually had expectations for this album because I like Isaiah Rashad.
I had absolutely no expectations for him. So it's called Sylvia Demo.
Yeah.
It's technically an EP, I guess.
No. This song got 16 tracks on it. The album. Listen, rappers. An EP is between, what is it, 4 and 6 songs?
Something like that.
And a demo tape is like between 3 and 5.
Maxi single?
What's a maxi single?
3 to 5.
That's also a maxi single, yes. So a demo tape, if somebody gives me a demo tape and it's got 16 songs on it, I might give you 2 records.
Wait a minute. People have demo tapes?
Yo, I have the funniest story. When I was in Colorado doing a show, right? Some guy who works with my mom was there. And, you know, obviously older, but you know how you like get to that. And I pray that I don't end up like this, where I'm like still trying to be hip and cool and down with the posse and all that stuff. Right. This dude was like, yeah, you know, my mom was like, yeah, this is his album. Da da da. He was like, well, how much is it? I was like, 10. He said, oh, OK. He's like, you got any demos? I was like, what? You asked me for a demo tape in 2014, dog. I should have cassette tapes on deck. I really should. Yep, demo tape. A side, B side.
Man, we've come a long way. I mean, there used to be a day where you would have had the CDs in your bag.
Yeah, sure did.
Hmm.
You know.
So anyway, this is. I mean, this is essentially a. Is this an album?
This is an album. Well, remember, the plan is for all the TDE to put out projects this year.
That's right.
So I count. It's weird because everybody counts. Like I was reading, you know, thread, and I'm skipping a little bit, but to make this point, you know, I was reading things and people were saying that this is like school. People are calling this Schoolboy Q's third album.
Yeah. It's his debut.
Major label album,
but yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for as far as Schoolboy Q's discography, the same thing with Kendrick. Like, this is Kendrick's third album.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to call this an album. It's got a central theme. I'm going to call it an album. You call it a demo tape, everything you want. It's an album.
Right. So, I'll be honest, for the most part, aside from maybe a TDE freestyle, like this is really my first time like listening to him. He's got potential.
Okay. Yes, he does.
And he's got a sound.
Yes, he does.
I'm not really sure. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm not really sure why he's in TDE.
Hmm.
Because he doesn't sound like TDE as much as TDE has a sound, which that's all the conversation.
I don't know if TDE has a sound.
They might not. But he's closer to Big Crit than Kendrick.
You think so?
There's a lot of crit on here. It really? It feels crit. Not as like, not how he raps. There's spots in here where I'm like, man, this is like a long lost big crit record.
Interesting.
You didn't really get that vibe?
Nah, not at all.
It's weird. Like, there's some stuff on here, like Soliloquy, that feels like a long lost RZA beat.
Giving a lot of credit to that beat.
I like that beat.
The beat is dope. It's cool.
I like Ronnie Drake.
It's cool.
The rest of it is... It all feels... A lot of these songs really blend into one another.
Yes, they do.
And
that was my problem, is that, yes, I agree with you. He has a sound. But, you know, I didn't need 16 tracks of that sound.
No, I
he could have chopped this in thirds.
Five track sort of.
Absolutely.
Who am I thinking of? Who does these little five track projects?
Fly Union.
Currency.
Oh, Currency. Yep.
Perfect. But you know, I mean, ironically, like Shot You Down, which, you know, with Schoolboy and J-Rock, which you think would be sort of a standout track. I don't know. I like some of the other stuff better.
I like that record.
It's cool. It's okay.
I like Shot You Down. It takes a while. I didn't think. Doesn't Isaiah have like two verses on there?
It's a 7-minute song.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. One verse from everybody is just fine.
Right.
I like Brad Jordan.
It's cool.
I like Brad Jordan. R.I.P. Kevin Miller's all right. The rest of it, I'm cool off of. Like, it's not whack. It's just
kind of there.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
And I think your assessment of them blending into each other is perfect.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. What's kind of interesting to me is and this is a good way to transition to talking about Schoolboy's album. Like, I don't really understand what TDE is doing right now.
How so?
I'm so confused by what they're doing. Where is J-Rock? Where's Absol?
I believe they're next.
I mean, I guess they are, but like, TDE feels very not really connected, right? So like, when I saw Kendrick open up for Kanye, why wasn't Schoolboy tagging along just so they could go perform the single they had out now, Collard Greens, in front of huge audiences in major cities to help promote? Like, why is Schoolboy instead sort of like doing his own thing? I guess what I'm like, TD, I'm sort of confused by TD right now, because they're sort of unique as like a, I don't know what you want to call them, a clique or a brand or a group or whatever, because they don't really have a signature sound.
Right.
Right. All the rappers, they don't exactly sound alike either. And
right.
It all almost feels like, and I felt a little bit of tension from when Kendrick really started to get a lot of press last year. Right. Mm. Like they resent like that XXL cover where it was Kendrick and Black Hippie. Like they got mad at that.
Oh, you're talking about because didn't Absol say something about that?
Yeah, I think Schoolboy said something too.
I thought that was sarcastic.
I don't think that they think of themselves as Kendrick's supporting acts. Like,
yeah.
When that's how the that's how the popular like media might see them.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they seem to be like, I don't know, like you look at who's on Schoolboy's album. Like we're going to start really, I want to really kind of go deep into this. Like J-Rock's like over here and you got the Kendrick song and is Absol even on here?
On Schoolboy's album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Did I miss him?
Hold on, I'm looking.
No.
J-Rock, Kendrick, DJ Chicago Kid, Corrupt, SZA, Sugar Free.
Nah, he's not.
No,
okay.
He's not. Isaiah Rashad's not. Like, yeah, they. Maybe it's because I'm a kid of the 90s, right? So I grew up where these were groups would sort of, you knew who was up next because the person whose album before, like, they were being featured on. Like, yeah. There was always the setup.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no setup with. I feel like they're almost trying to treat all these guys like they're already stars. Do you know what I mean?
Sort of.
I don't know. Like, I feel like they really put. I feel like they really sort of let whatever momentum J-Rock had, like after Money Trees, just sort of went by the wayside. They squandered that.
But but you know, sometimes it's not an intentional squander. It's like either J-Rock didn't have anything in the stash, or what he had in the stash wasn't what they wanted, or they wanted to really stick to their plan. You know, there's a bunch of different ways that I think they you can approach that. I don't think that's always somebody's fault.
Okay.
So, you know, I seriously wouldn't doubt that they saw that. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't know that's what they were doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, sure. They didn't know that you know, Money Trees was going to pop the way it did. You know, we talked about Kendrick's album. I mean, Kendrick's album from a single standpoint is extremely interesting. And by interesting, I mean weird. Because it's like, why are you picking that song as your single? You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
You know, so I don't know.
And then, like, the whole rollout for Schoolboy's album, right? So the first leak was Yeah Yeah, right?
Yep.
Which doesn't even make the album and ends up as a iTunes bonus deluxe, whatever.
Yep.
Then you had, what record came out with that NBA thing? Oh, Hell of a Night.
That didn't do anything, right?
No, because it was, like, unfinished, and then it was sort of, you know, leaked later, and it wasn't really officially done. Let's see. When did at some point they put out, let's see, I'm trying to think. Collard Greens was in June. What else did they put out? They leaked out.
They leaked a snippet of, what's the single out that's right now?
Oh, Man of the Year.
Nah, Break the Bank.
Oh, Break the Bank. Right. Yeah,
they leaked that. And then...
Well, right.
So they've been throwing singles up against the wall for a little bit.
They have been. And that's really weird to me because it was... I mean, it's obvious what the single on here is.
What's that?
It's Collard Greens.
Yeah.
And when we get to that song, I want to talk about that. But we've talked a lot about it on the show about how, like... And, you know, you and I have talked about just our own experiences working on music. Like, the whole sort of era of, like, you talk about your album and the music you're working on nonstop, and you sort of leak stuff out as you get it, and you try to, like, you just try to ensure that you're never forgotten.
Yeah.
Right? That whole era doesn't work. That whole concept doesn't work.
Did Beyonce kind of, like, officially kill that?
Yeah, there was a series of projects last year that really showed different ways to do it.
Watch the Throne. I think Watch the Throne was the seed, right?
Well, even Watch the Throne. I mean, Ham came out like 9 months before.
Came out in January.
Yeah. That's My Chick came out like early.
But that wasn't an official leak.
No, you're right. You're right.
That wasn't an official leak. But there was no, like, you know, it was like other people talking about Watch the Throne.
That's
Jay
true.
And Kanye said very, very little, if anything, until, you know, Otis was ready to come out.
Right. No, agreed. And like, I think the danger, like, yeah. And so like other projects last year that took advantage of this, like, you know, Yeezus was talked about, but there wasn't really any official leaks online until he was ready to put something out. There was like recorded stuff from concerts, but that's different.
Yeah.
right? Even how Daft Punk handled their rollout.
Yep.
Magna Carta rollout.
Fine, didn't they?
They used a bunch of stuff. They had ads on SNL that only played like a little snippet of Get Lucky, and then they did a thing at Coachella where they showed a video of another snippet of Get Lucky. Like, yep. They really kept the people waiting, but they did that when the album was already done. Like, that was part, yes, of a plan. It wasn't, let's just throw stuff out there while I'm trying to come up with a plan.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And
a lot of artists suffer from that, unfortunately.
No, I mean, look, let's be honest. We did with Kairos, right?
We did like amazing. I talked about Kairos for like a year.
That's true.
I really talked about Kairos for like a year. Because we didn't have any idea of, you know, when it was going to come out, what it was finished. Like, there was so many gray areas that we really didn't get until, God, I mean, we finished the album like a week and a half. Actually, we didn't finish the album until after it came
out. we that's true, but we had it in a finished form more or less a couple weeks before, month before.
Yeah, not very long. And I think that's a lesson learned. I don't think I'll ever do that again. I'll have something done with months to roll it out correctly.
But I think you know, you're not the only one who's learned that lesson. Like,
you
know, the whole rollout for Schoolboy's album is a great example of that lesson.
Well, I thought that Schoolboy's album was supposed to come out fourth quarter. Then they pushed it back. He raps about it on Shot You Down.
Right.
It was supposed to come out in November. Then it was January. Then even then he's like, January sounds good. And it got pushed back again to February.
Yeah. It was originally supposed to come out. But then they had sample clearance issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pushed back even more. So, you know, I know, I guess it's one of those things where it's just a lot easier if you hold all the cards, right? If you eliminate as many variables as possible. And yeah, with hip hop, one of those variables is sample clearances.
Yeah.
Right. If you got samples in your album, don't talk about the album until you know what can be on the album. And that's really hard to do.
Sure.
Right? Twitter has made it so that you have to make a concerted effort to not communicate all this stuff with your fans, to the point where I feel like artists are doing it right now in sort of a good way. I'm sure we'll see artists just try to be gimmicky about it. Right? Because everything gets imitated and duplicated, and then it becomes... And then in our culture, right, it gets sort of manufactured and, oh, I'm gonna go quiet now. I'm not going to talk about my album, da da da. You know, people will sort of go at it that way. But I, you know, there's clearly too many tracks to fit on one album for Schoolboy. Like, he was clearly recording this for a very long time. And I don't know. I just feel like, in a way, this is a good time of year to release it, because this is the most anticipated release so far this year, right? I mean, it's only February, but nothing else really came out.
It's the only album this year.
Yeah, it's the only album this year. So, I mean, I guess that's a good time for this, but I don't know. I feel like, well, I want to go track by track. I want to talk about like how good I think Collard Greens actually is, and I don't know why that didn't catch on and stuff like that. But, I mean, like, I just saw a video for, was it Break the Bank?
Yeah, I watched that yesterday.
Like, why are you... I mean, look, I like that song. We'll talk about it. But, like, really?
Like, the street single.
You need a street single?
I think nowadays, you know, I mean, Beyonce's kind of proven it, that you can have different singles for different, you know, so Collard Greens is for the radio, and then Break the Bank is for the streets. Why not have two videos?
Collard Greens, that was for the radio.
Yeah, so I think that because... our attention spans are shorter, a lot shorter now. Mm. You can get away with having two videos. Because Man of the Year is the current single right now. And, you know, MTV Jams is playing both of those videos a lot. You know, and I don't think one runs into the other. Because the Man of the Year video, bunch of chicks on the beach, yada yada.
Right.
You know, the Break the Bank video is a bunch of goons.
Right.
Menacing at the camp, you know what I'm saying? So I think it can work both ways.
Okay.
But let's go track by track.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't have track by track notes because I don't think this album is worth track by track notes, but we obviously took them. So, you know, you can go ahead and rock out.
Well, so track one is Gangsta.
Yeah.
Produced by Nez and Rio.
Okay.
I like this.
The beat is cool.
This grew on me. There are parts on this album that really feel late 90s to me. There are parts of this album that are just really like a throwback in terms of, maybe not in terms of the sound, but in terms of the sensibility.
Okay.
This is one of those records. Hoover Street is, like I said, yeah, I mean, this is dark for an intro, but it kind of works. I don't know. I like it. But it's cool with you? I mean,
the beat is cool. I'm not a big fan of the hook.
Okay.
You know, I don't really think Schoolboy can really rap. So.
Explain what you mean by that.
He's just kind of there.
Really?
Yeah. I can't point out any verses or anything poignant or interesting or just even. Yeah, or even interesting, because you don't have to be, you know, I'm not one of those guys that you have to be lyrical schmirical. You just have to be interesting. Whatever lane you choose to take, just, you know, make it unique into the best of your ability. He's just not unique to me. He just sounds like a really, really good sound click rapper.
Wow.
He just doesn't do it for me. I like Absol. I love Kendrick. I think Isaiah can rap. I'm even fond of J-Rock.
Schoolboy's like J-Rock's. Go ahead.
I like J-Rock's newer stuff than his older stuff. But yeah, Schoolboy just doesn't. He doesn't do it for me as a lyricist.
A$AP Rocky's Brand New Guy. He's incredibly memorable in that.
Yeah.
Hands on the Wheel.
Nah, I only like Rocky on that record.
All right. Well, that's going to set the tone for this whole podcast then. Speaking of Pharrell, Los Awesome featuring J-Rock.
Yeah, that's super Neptunes. Did Pharrell do that?
He did. And This is a rare miss for Pharrell.
Yeah, this isn't a good record.
This song like could work, but the actual like execution is just all wrong. Like the mix is you know, ironically, because Kendrick's album had such incredible mixing, there's some really weird choices going on here for some of these records. Like that, the synth on Los Awesome is way too busy and noisy and totally like distracts you during the hook. Not big enough bass. Like, but then just in general, like, so the execution's not there. But even if the execution were there, that would only elevate it to an okay song. But it's actually, this is one of the worst. This is one of like the worst Pharrell songs I've heard in a while.
Wow.
I was incredibly disappointed by this record. But hey, you know, I don't really know what else to say. J-Rock's okay on it, I guess. I think Schoolboy's better on it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Collard Greens.
Yeah.
With Kendrick, produced by THC.
Yep.
The first real single.
Yep.
This song really wasn't that successful.
It wasn't, but it was weird because it's one of those records that it's doing well in other environments like clubs and parties and stuff. There was a DJ event in the city yesterday that I went to where the DJ just kind of get together and just play. You know, they have 20, 30 minute sets, and one of the DJs played Collard Greens and it rang off. Crowd was bouncing to it, so
I love this record. It is completely mystifying to me that it did not catch on. That beat is so great.
Maybe because it just like the record doesn't catch fire until the hook and Kendrick. Maybe you have to wait too long for Kendrick.
You really think so?
Yeah, I just don't know if the public has grasped onto Schoolboy like that.
See, I think this is an interesting test because, you know, typically in hip hop, we see this happen over and over again, where you have the first person from a new label or a new crew or whatever who becomes very successful, and then they are immediately featured on the next person's up single.
Yeah.
Right? That's the status quo. That's how it works, because the idea is they're going to help them sell.
Yeah. But
I wonder, this is just one example. Let's see how this plays out. I wonder how strong Kendrick's coattails really are.
Yes. Or even if they're supposed to be coattails.
There should be, right? Like,
I mean, if you don't want to be Kendrick's lackey, if like that was a problem, then do something without him. Or do something to where he's not, you know, on the single like that.
Right. I don't know. I think it's one of the better songs on the album.
It is. Oh yeah, it is. And I'm just gonna go ahead and skip. You know, I'm not a singles guy, but the records that they released are far and away better than like the album cuts.
Next up, we got What They Want with Dos Cadenas, produced by Mike Will. Boy, this song is underwhelming.
Yeah. Nope.
The beat. No. Nah. I don't understand. This album doesn't really get going until the second half. But yeah, like there's the beat's not that great. 2 Chainz is okay in terms of 2 Chainz, but no, I'm good. Hoover Street though. How you feel about Hoover Street?
Nope.
So this is produced by Soundwave. It's kind of like a 2-part song. The first beat is sort of these like rolling drums that never really gets to like a climax in the beat. And then, you know, like minute and a half, minute 40 seconds, and it switches to what really feels to me, and not just how it sounds, but also how he raps. There's a serious Cypress Hill influence going on here. Mm. It's pretty dope though. That's right. I use the word dope. We're going old. We're going 90 for a 90s track. I felt that was appropriate.
I mean, that's, you know, I sound, don't worry. Join us.
I'm a white boy drinking tea right now, so you know. But this second beat is great. Hoover Street things are really, is aside from Collard Greens, it's probably the best track up to this point. But you're not a fan.
Nope.
Studio featuring BJ.
This is supposed to be the next single, right?
Probably. Why else would you have the song on here? I'm not really sure how to feel about this song. I kind of like the beat. I kind of actually like Schoolboy doing this little sing rap thing. But I hate when rappers make songs about being in the studio. Like, like that is awful. When musicians start to make music about the way that they make music, you know, like when you know, you see this with like a rock band when they start making records about what it's like to be on tour.
Yeah.
Like, how are fans supposed to identify with that?
Right.
And my other problem with Studio is just its placement in the album. Like, you know, I guess they want to break up some of these darker tracks, but Hoover Street and then into Studio and then the next track, like there's no cohesion there at all. But let's talk about Prescription and Oxymoron. Okay. This is produced by Soundwave. This is the most important song on the album.
How so?
It's more than just the title track. It's the entire concept of his persona as a rapper. Right? So, like, the first half, Prescription, this is the most honest I've ever heard, like, and I guess emotional the way that you ever hear Schoolboy Q. Like, he talks about his addiction to drugs. He talks about selling drugs. And the whole concept is that why the album's called Oxymoron, the song's called Oxymoron, is because the point, like, for him, the way he justifies it is he does it for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, you know, the fact that he's got his daughter on this song is supposed to, like, is supposed to be setting up, like, how, you know, he acknowledges, like, this is a problem. And then he goes, the next song is Oxymoron, which is a total change. It's really, it's, you know, it's a two-part song. It's a total change from the first half of the song. It's much, the beat is pure trap, and that's on purpose, because now we're talking about, now he's talking about actually selling and not just using. This song sequence is meant to talk about, like I said, I mean, it's really, it's his whole sort of like, because drugs are clearly an important part of his life. Like, Grantland had a thing with him today, and it was when he was out in New York doing promo stuff back in February. And it, the entire thing basically revolves around him not wanting to do media, him just trying to get over to his friend's apartment to smoke, and him trying to get some food.
Wow.
I don't know. I feel like, I like Prescription a lot. I think Oxymoron is whatever. But like, I'm surprised that you didn't listen to Prescription. I'm surprised you didn't like that record.
I mean, just because a rapper is, you know, sharing his soul doesn't make it good.
I think it's a good song. I think it's a dope beat.
It just didn't like hold me, man. It just didn't. It didn't. At least with Isaiah's album, it felt like I needed to like revisit it and give it more time, or at least find out the records that I really like. This album was just like, nah.
I struggled with Isaiah's album. I had to keep finding reasons to go back to it, but there's some real records on here. See, it's funny. At this point, to me, the album really picks up. You got The Purge, produced by Tyler, featuring Tyler and Corrupt.
Nope.
This is a weird beat. You know, what I would describe as, excuse me, disfigured Neptune synths. He jacks that more or less snare from Kanye, who, of course, jacked it from Timbo. But it works. Like, it's weird and it's dark, but it, to me, it totally works. I don't really love Corrupt on here, but I like Schoolboy on this.
Okay.
You're killing me, man. Blind Threats with Ray?
Nope. Like, I didn't like this album except the singles. Man of the Year, and I'm not even really big on Man of the Year, but Man of the Year and Collard Greens are the only records on this album I like. Like, it's just, this album just didn't, it just didn't hit for me.
You like the Isaiah Rashad album better than this?
No.
Okay.
No, but I walked away from that one like, all right, you know, he's got potential. You know, we both said he's got potential. Maybe he needs an A&R, you know, better producers, yada, yada. And there's something there. With Schoolboy, it's like, I know by this point, because I wasn't a big fan of Habits and Contradictions either. So now I kind of know what to expect from Schoolboy, and I'm just not a fan. I'm ready for Absol's album.
I'll take Schoolboy over Absol.
Absol, or Schoolboy doesn't have a better record than Book of Soul. That's a Bare My Soul, Oh My God record.
Doesn't make it good.
But it is good. You're right. It doesn't make it good.
You don't like Blind Threats?
Nah, not really.
Blind Threats is dope. I mean, Ray's verse is actually good. I should say it sounds good. He's not really sticking to the concept of the song, which is Schoolboy talking about his relationship with God. Not exactly in the same way that you hear on, you know, say, Kairos, which, of course, is a Tom. But, but yeah, when you get Ray, you know, at this point, if you're going to have Raekwon on a song, you got to get him on the right tempo.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the flow is all over the place. I have this theory with, I think I've talked about this with rappers from the 90s. They just don't know how to, the tempos are so different now.
Yes.
They don't know how to adapt. So they just try to slow down. They don't, you know, most of them don't understand the concept of like, oh, it's a slower beat, so I got to do something different.
Yeah.
They act like every beat is 95 BPM.
Yeah.
Right. It was funny. Rappers now get a lot of flack for not being as dope lyrically. But whether by necessity or whether just because it's evolved, you see so much more diversity and flow than you ever did before.
Yeah.
And not just from rapper to rapper, like even an individual rapper, like to succeed in 2014, you got to be able to rap over anything.
Really do.
But I like Blind Threats. And how you feel about Hell of a Night?
Nope. I don't like this album, Doc.
Hell of a Night's dope. Produced by the same guy who did Money Trees. DJ, I think it's Dahi.
Yeah, Dahi, yep.
This is actually almost like a danceable record. It's too bad this leaked out early and unfinished, because this is a dope song and they could have held this back for a single. Break the Bank is dope. Alchemist.
I really want to like Break the Bank just because it's Alchemist. I don't like the hook. Da-di-da. I don't like that.
You got a lot of hate in your blood. That's right, referencing Jermaine Dupri records.
All right, Jermaine Dupri, Jadakiss, and Freeway.
I really tried to talk myself into that song.
What, Hating Your Blood?
Yeah.
You bugging.
It's not very good.
No, you bugging.
It's okay. But you like Man of the Year.
Yeah, Man of the Year is dope. I like Man of the Year. That was a grower. That was like, honestly, I like Man of the Year, hearing it in the context of the album.
Right.
So, I mean, as a single by itself, I was like,
But no, it really works. Like, if you could, because this is the end of the standard edition, 12 songs, it really works as a really good ending to an album.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely. The way it sounds, I really like it as an end. There's a lot I don't like about this sequencing. It's all over the place. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think
Man of the Year. Yeah, the sequencing is kind of funny.
I think Man of the Year is dope. So then we got three, I don't know, call them bonus tracks, but they're really just on the deluxe. His and Her Friend with, is it SZA? Is that how we pronounce that?
I guess. I'm just going to, you know, by default.
By default. I'm not really a fan of this at all. I mean, talk about going back to the drug talk. Like, the song sounds like you're on drugs, and it's Q rapping as an oxy pill. Like, you know, I'm cool. Grooveline Part 2 with Sugar Free. With a total throwback beat. Like, I'm not mad about the song, but it totally doesn't fit within the context of anything else.
Yeah, this does stick out like a sore thumb. And sequencing, I think you're right. Sequencing does not help this album.
It does not. The last official track is, let's just say, FLA. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Then there's like, depending on what version you buy, we got more bonus and leftover tracks. So there's Yeah Yeah, which was the first leak.
And I always liked that record.
It grew on me. How did I not know that this samples Dilemma?
Dilemma what?
Nelly, Dilemma.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
The little thing in the background.
That part?
Uh-huh. That's produced by Boy Wonder.
Is it really?
Yeah. Boy Wonder and the Maven Boys. You can't tell?
Nah.
Sounds like Boy Wonder. It's the drums.
Okay.
You got Gravy, which is on the iTunes Deluxe, produced by Clams Casino.
Good boy.
Doesn't sound anything at all like Clams Casino. It sounds like
is he Italian? You know Clams. I just realized. Do you know if Clams Casino is Italian?
You're gonna make me look that up. Come on, internet, don't let me down.
He's like, hey, Clams Casino. Like, it just sounds like a sounds like a guy who runs numbers. We'll see Clams.
I mean, he's a white boy from Jersey.
I mean, he that still puts him in the Italian race, right? I'm curious. Whatever. What else is on this album?
So Gravy, produced by Clams Casino. It's a weird Clams beat, but it's dope. It reminds me, like, if you were gonna do a Cypress Hill style record in 2014, this is what it would sound like. Then there's two records nobody's heard yet. Pusha Man and Californication, which is the record with ASAP. And those are on...
Why didn't you put out a record with ASAP?
Release.
Yeah, but why is it a bonus track for Target?
Like, I got all sorts of questions. Why is it... Like, first of all, if you're... Why do you have 15 tracks and a track with ASAP aren't on it? But you've got records. I mean, I don't think Studio's that really that good. You got that Mike Will 2 Chainz record. There's 15 official tracks. Depending on which version you get, there's another 4 bonus tracks. 19 tracks. You could put together 12 tracks in a better order that's more compelling.
Isn't that what Kendrick did?
12 tracks.
12 tracks. And then like the Best Buy one had 2 or 3 joints.
He did, but you
Target
know what?
One had 2 or 3
you
joints.
Know what he did? And it's so stupid, but it kind of matters in my brain. Every time it was bonus, it was always another disc. Like the album was the album. And then everything else was disc 2.
Gotcha.
And I felt like they were really trying to protect, like because that album is intentionally crafted. Like those 12 tracks go together in a very particular way.
Yeah, you can't. There's no way. No, no way.
Whereas this album, there's nothing. No, it's not like that at all.
It's a bunch of songs.
It's a bunch of songs. It needs much better sequencing, and he needed a lot of help editing it down. A ton of help editing it down. I think there's a 12 track like pretty good album somewhere in here. But yeah, I'm disappointed. I gotta say, it's funny. I like it. I like decent sized chunks of it, but maybe my expectations were too high. You know. And I want to talk about that. I guess that can be the last thing we talk about. Expectations. People were expecting a lot out of this album, right? Is it just us rap nerds?
I wasn't expecting anything, but
you're not a Schoolboy fan, as everybody's discovered by listening to this episode.
I think the allure of this album from people who did not know Schoolboy and who weren't really big on TDE until Good Kid, Mad City was, who are these other guys?
Mm.
And what can they do? Do they do the same thing that Kendrick does? Does what they do differentiate from Kendrick? Is it better? Is it worse? So I think that was the larger concern. I think this is a totally different album from Kendrick, but I don't think that any of them have to intentionally say, I'm not going to do what Kendrick does, because they already don't.
Mm.
So at this point, it's just make good music. I'm more concerned about Kendrick than anybody else from TDE. You know, how do you follow up Good Kid, Mad City? But, you know, I was trying to think of people who came out with classic albums, or classic hip hop albums, and like who had a dope second album after coming out with a classic? Kanye,
Ghostface,
Ghost,
Outkast,
Drake? Outkast. Tribe. I say Drake from So Far Gone to Take Care.
You forgetting something?
No.
So yes.
Okay, third album. All right.
A lot of people would tell you it was written.
I would tell you it was written.
But please, let's not rewrite history. Everybody
hated that album.
Was disappointed.
Disappointed.
Not hate.
Disappointed.
Disappointed. Because I still listen to that album a lot. I mean, in 96, look, wait.
96 is one of the best years for hip hop.
When the guitars come on The Message, it's over. You can't tell me anything.
I thought you were going to say When the Guitars Come On 16. that will never get old. Ever.
What was he thinking? No, you know what? Everybody should just go listen to us break down God Forgives I Don't.
please, because that's one of the best episodes. We got to do a Clock Radio speakers retrospective.
We got a clip show.
We talked about this a long time ago of just doing our favorite three episodes, favorite five episodes, and God Forgives I Don't has to be on that list.
That's a good episode.
It was a good conversation about what God Forgives I Don't really. There's a good conversation about what Dice Pineapples were, and there's a fantastic conversation about the guitar solo from the end of Sixth. But yeah, what were we talking about?
We're talking about expectations.
Expectations, yeah.
So like, it's funny because for me, Kendrick's Section 80 was cool.
It was good,
but I liked Habits and Contradictions. It was inconsistent, but my Hate Joint, woo.
See, that's weird because that's what people say about everybody. That's what people said about all TDE releases until probably Section 80.
What's that?
Was that Habits and Contradictions, inconsistent. What was the name of the absolute control system? Inconsistent.
Right, right.
Section 80 had high and low points.
Right.
To come from that, you make a huge leap from that to Good Kid, Mad City.
No, you're right. Good Kid. It's
almost like Good Kid, Mad City shouldn't even be the bar because that was this is probably a bad comparison, but that's like Lance Stevenson scoring 50 points.
I'm trying to think of another example of a leap of that magnitude.
Yeesh. Jeezy? Yeah.
No.
102 to the Recession?
No. Good Kid, Mad City is in another league.
No. But you're talking about the jump.
I am. I think Section 80 is okay.
Well, the reason why I say that is because people like Jeezy's music. You know, Trap or Die and TM 101 are considered classics, but they're not at all perfect albums.
No.
But, you know, TM 102, even Streets is Watching, some of those mixtapes were kind of, eh. And then when you heard The Recession, you're like, yo.
Mm.
The Recession was like a huge leap.
You know what it might be comparable to?
What's that?
Kanye's mixtapes to Kanye's album.
See, I was thinking Kanye, but I wasn't quite sure.
It's close. Actually, you know what? Maybe Jay's earlier work to Reasonable Doubt.
That's a good jump.
That's a heck of a jump.
That's a good jump.
Because Nas didn't put out enough material before, and everybody knows his, you know, famously, Live at the Barbecue, Jay wasn't really known like that.
No, he wasn't. He really wasn't. And even after Reasonable Doubt, he was just kind of people were very late on the Reasonable Doubt.
They were, totally.
And absolutely. With good reason, because there was great music coming out
right
during the time.
Right. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. The bar that Kendrick is sort of set.
I have Jay scatting in my scat man in his scat raps.
I miss that Jay.
Really? Give me those. Give me that. Give me that.
No, I'm sorry. I would say the Jay from Reasonable Doubt who could. Exactly. Who could sort of get up and then back down and sort of fit his way into bars. Right. That was a...
From the Shy, I Don't Want to Be Alone remix?
No. The Jay-Z who wrote Buggin'? No. That's right.
Are you talking about like 98 Jay?
I'm talking
about... Volume 1 from Reasonable Doubt... And then you can say volume 1, volume 2, volume... We talked about this on the Jay-Z retro. The volume Jay was a different Jay from the Reasonable Doubt Jay.
He was. Definitely. And I don't know. I don't think I liked that Jay better, but it was different.
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah, especially volume 1, a little different, but really by the time we get into... by the time we get into late 98, early 99, yeah... I'm thinking Jay on 4 Alarm Blaze.
Yeah.
Blackout.
Yeah.
So, wait, is Kendrick coming out with an album this year?
Oh.
Mm.
That's so much pressure.
Yep.
And I realize that we're not, I mean, not that, I mean, I hope Kendrick's listening. If you are, first of all, hi. Secondly, get on the show. No,
come on the show.
Now, that's how you know I'm for the show. My first plea to a hypothetical Kendrick is not to buy my beats. It's to come on the show. No, like, people talking about it helps build the pressure, but just, like, the pressure's going to be there. This will be... when was the last time there was an album that had this much pressure on it? Is it as far back as it was written?
Did Late Registration have a lot of pressure on it?
You know what? People forget that he had that Common album earlier that same year.
Did that alleviate the pressure?
It proved that he was just rolling. You know what I mean? Like, with Kanye, that first run, you didn't feel like there was too much of a break, right? Because you went right. It was his record. Then you had John Legend later that year. Then you had Common. Then you had Late Registration. Then you had more Common and John Legend albums. Then you had Graduate. Like, he was just constantly going and going. Whereas by the time that this Kendrick album comes out, I mean, maybe they surprise us and they drop it like in April, but it's going to be later this year.
Oh, yeah. It's totally for... I
Interscope is going to want this. I'm going to say September, October.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much pressure. There's going to be beats by Drake commercials. There's going to be cover articles. Like, he's getting the whole thing.
Yeah. And now you've got the pressure of, this is the guy who was supposed to win the Grammy. That's pressure.
Right.
So now what?
This is the guy who made the first, who made an album that people actually felt comfortable somewhat comparing to, I mean, basically the Rushmore of debut albums. Like, people still do. I mean, they don't feel at all uncomfortable talking about this alongside Illmatic or Reasonable Doubt. I realize some people right now who are having heart attacks, and I ask you, please calm down for a moment. But it's true. It's an incredible album.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's the first album that I don't know anybody who doesn't like Kendrick's album.
That's right.
I don't know anybody who says anything less than that was amazing. Nobody.
Believe it or not, I think you're the only person I've ever heard say anything negative about it.
Oh, shut up.
I'm serious.
What did I say, Nate? What? That I don't like Good Kid?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And I'm not trying to poke fun at you. I'm saying, like, that's actually the only... people just don't criticize that album. It's almost unimpeachable.
And I have a theory about certain artists who are, like, immune from slander from the public.
Oh, this is good. I want to hear this.
Did we talk about it's the Janelle Monáe theory.
Okay.
You know, where Janelle Monáe is this girl, really pretty. She doesn't have her body all out. She's inspired by the artist that we grew up on. So by default, because of those two things, because she's different, she's standing up for women's rights and all this wonderful stuff. And, you know, the influences are there, that just by default, we have to like and love and champion her music. When, you know, she got joints, but she's not, like, amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that there's certain artists that are just unslanderable.
Mm.
Certain projects that are just unslanderable. It's just, you know, Good Kid, M.A.A.d City is a classic. Widely known as a classic. So by default, you can't slander it. But if history tells you anything, it's that classic albums are not perfect.
That's right.
And, you know, classic doesn't at all mean perfect, because there are perfect albums that aren't classic.
Like?
I don't know. sounded good.
I was going to say, what is a perfect album anyway?
Perfect album.
There's a couple I can think that come close.
I would go with Macho Man's Be a Man. Right. That was a perfect album.
Right.
You think? No, for real, though. A perfect album.
I was going to say everything Eddie Murphy did in 1985.
Oh, absolutely. Party All the Time. What's Up With You? The Michael Jackson joint classic. Speaking of Michael, Thriller, Off the Wall? Is Thriller a perfect album? Because I know Off the Wall has a couple of joints that I'm not.
I don't.
Thriller might be a perfect album.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
Okay.
Hold on. You make me pull up the track list. I never was a real big fan of the Paul McCartney record.
Say.
The Girl Is Mine.
Oh, The Girl Is Mine. No, my bad. When I think of The Girl Is Mine, I think of
I think of that video.
I think of Love Jones. I think of Ren and Tin. But it's not the girl. It's something else. dang, what is a perfect album? That's a great question to ask. I'm just gonna tweet this right now.
Yeah. I would say In Search Of is pretty close. I can't think of a single record off there I don't like.
You got another one?
What record don't you like off In Search Of?
You?
Oh. Actually, I remember this because you and I, we had this exact same conversation. We did the Neptunes retro, and you would name a track and say you didn't like it, and I would do that exact same noise. Oh.
What is a perfect album?
I think Good Kid, Mad City is pretty close.
It's close. Oh, it's completely close.
I think Cuban Links is very close. There are a couple tracks I can live without.
Okay.
But it's very close. The problem with Cuban Links is, yes, there are a couple tracks, like, there are a couple tracks that we can live without, but some of the tracks, like, I think of, like, break the, like, I always used to rate songs like 5 out of 5, 4 out of 5, right? That's it's the remnants of reading the source your whole, you know, teenage years, right? Mm-hmm. I always think of tracks, some of the best tracks on Cuban Links is like, no, that's like a 6 or a 7 out of 5. Like, you know, like, some of those tracks are so incredible, it just makes me even forget that some of the tracks maybe aren't quite amazing. Gotcha. But even though, you know, Illmatic has One Time for Your Mind.
Yeah. Reasonable Doubt has Cashmere Thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking J albums, for me personally, American Gangster is pretty close. I don't like Hello Brooklyn. That's the only record from the album I don't like.
I don't like Hello Brooklyn, and the title track doesn't really.
Yeah, you're bugging.
Do it
for, even though it's Show Me What You Got with a different sample.
It's just too busy for me. I know.
Rapper than that. I know. Yeah, you bugging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really going through, and yeah. I can't find a perfect. For me, Nevermind is a perfect album. Nirvana is totally a perfect album.
Anything from Kanye?
Closest thing to me would be Graduation. Let me pull up the track listing for
Dark Graduation. Twisted Fantasy. But for me, that's pretty close.
Graduation.
Nah, Drunken Hot Girls, we could do without.
Okay, Drunken Hot Girls. Yeah, Drunken Hot Girls is the only record that I won't give.
I'm cool with Champion, but I'm not blown away by Champion.
Fucking.
I know.
That was the pullover record when I first heard it. Because really? I didn't download that album. I waited till it came out and bought it on my lunch break. Went to the BX and bought it.
Because you had to support. Because it was him versus 50.
Because I wanted 50 Cent to retire. No.
It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe people want to sit here and listen to us go, that's tough.
I don't know. We'll have to.
Yeah, I'm going outside the world of hip hop and R&B now. I'm even trying to think, like, there have been. I'm trying to think. Is there a perfect album?
Oh man, Jay Nas, definitely not Big or Pac.
Chronic,
Doggy Style. Those two could be. Let me look up the Chronic. The Chronic has some skits I could do without.
That's true. Trap.
Yeah, probably. Probably just reminds me that we need to do our.
We got to do. We need to do. Tribe or De La Retro. Maybe both.
Great A, Let Me Ride, Dating is Took Over, G-Thang, Yo Boy, and then we're done. Yeah, aside from the outro and the skits, you could give that to The Chronic.
It's close. And it's funny because that's not my favorite album, but or what I would even think is the best album. But it might be the album with the least amount of missteps.
Yep. I'm looking at Doggy Style right now. Like Dottie, Murder Was the Case, Doggy Dog World. This is close too.
Like even I'm thinking of the Wu-Tang classics like Liquid Swords.
Is 36 Chambers? We're on this topic way too long.
That's okay. Hopefully, well, anybody wants to listen, they're still listening, I guess, right? but they are, you know, I'll tell you what, if you are still listening, then please use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers and let us know what you think. First of all, you know, you could tell us, do you even think there's such a thing as a perfect album? But, you know, what's your perfect album? Or what do you think is the closest? That's definitely a conversation I want to have with people.
Yeah.
But, we could sit here and sort of mumble and go through Wikipedia all day, but anything else you want to say about, let me ask you one last final question. So we got 4 more TDE projects coming this year. Is that right?
Yep.
So that's Kendrick, Absol, J-Rock.
Absol, J-Rock, and SZA.
That seems like a lot. Like, seems like a lot. Seems like somebody might get lost in the shuffle promotion wise, or I don't know.
It depends on how they do it. I think you called it in a great way. A few weeks ago is where you said, you know, they would be like little indie projects that they would just be like TDE specific, where they would be released in the same manner that Section 80 and, you know, all those other projects, whatever, everything before Good Kid, M.A.A.d City. Where it's an iTunes thing, it's a free project,
right? You know, like
nobody's gonna buy a SZA album right now.
No, SZA's album, SZA's will be just like Isaiah's, where it'll go on iTunes, but it'll be like, you know, 8+ tracks or whatever, but it'll be, for all intents and purposes, a modern mixtape.
Yeah,
right. Just for sale, because that's what you do. But J-Rock, Absol, and Kendrick.
You buying a J-Rock album?
I'm not saying I'm buying a J-Rock album, but the idea is, you think even J-Rock is, I don't know. I think that for TDE, there's the core four and there's everybody else. So those core four, I think they're getting albums this year, man. Mm. Otherwise, I mean, what, you know, J-Rock, he's been around the longest. You're going to look at him and go, sorry, you're getting the iTunes only release. You're not getting the Interscope machine. That's tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder, does somebody has to like do, somebody has to put out a record. That's what it is.
Okay.
Somebody needs a record, like a song, like within their project, they need a record that will make Interscope put some money behind them. Because right now, nobody's going to buy... I think that this Schoolboy Q album is a litmus test for Interscope.
I would agree with that.
For the rest of TDE.
I agree with that.
And they're going to say, well, Schoolboy only sold this, or Schoolboy did well and sold this. So, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Absol is next. And which is crazy because, you know, it's really a toss up between him and J-Rock. So if either one of those guys and whoever's next, they're just like, Interscope's gonna be like, well, we're not putting that much money behind Absol or J-Rock because Schoolboy only sold X amount of records.
Right.
Or, you know, Schoolboy sold X amount of records and we're gonna, you know, put the house behind this guy because now we believe in you guys. And then that really either builds up or alleviates pressure for Kendrick. Kendrick's gonna have pressure no matter what, but the amount of pressure is based off of how well his label mates do.
Right, and I think Collard Greens was the first small litmus test. Right. It made it so that we can't just assume, oh, it's Kendrick on a single with somebody else, so it's going to do well, right?
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because I need to look at this. What's the highest charting song Kendrick's ever had?
Probably Poetic Justice, right?
I'm curious. Let me look at his singles. No, you well, no, actually, you know, it's Swimming Pools.
Okay.
Which went platinum.
Oh, did it?
And got to 17 on the pop charts.
Okay.
And was on, you know, on R&B and hip hop was number 3. Poetic Justice and Chick Don't Kill My Vibe, they were, you know, top 40, which is incredible to say. So these are big numbers, but they're not like Drake numbers. Like when 50 was in his prime and then dragged along Gina with him, they're not 50 numbers. So
no, but you know, nobody's.
But what I think, I mean, even if you just look at like in terms of like chart positions, maybe not raw sales numbers, but chart positions, right? So Kendrick's interesting because everybody loves Good Kid, Mad City, but it's not like Good Kid, Mad City sold 18 million. It sold 1.1 in the U.S.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But.
Great.
It's great. But remember, he only did, what, 250 first week?
I mean, only.
If you hear people talk about it now and the expectation, this is what I'm talking about for expectations. Like, they're going to, he did 242 his first week. They're going to expect so much more.
Oh, from this go around? Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, I think, not only does he have, he's battling the problem of artistic expectations and sales expectations. Right?
Yes. More so artistic.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. You put together an album like that, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? It's all effed up now.
I think Interscope, I mean, well, you know what? We'll find out, right? We'll see just how much Interscope cranks up the machine.
Right. You know, I don't know at this point. I think the artistic, because with Kendrick's album, people bought the album because they downloaded it and it was so good.
Right.
So the leak actually helped him. And granted, it didn't leak like dumb early. It leaked, you know, average like a week and a half or something like that. But yeah. So absolutely, this can make or break him.
Mm. I mean, it's not going to break him, but it's got to be. Is it the most anticipated album of 2014?
As of right now, yes. Until I think right now as it stands, Kendrick and Kanye have the two most anticipated albums of this year so far.
I have no idea where Kanye's going to go.
I think Kanye makes a safe album this year.
This is he's going to pull a Dark Twisted Fantasy and make something to make the critics happy?
Well, I mean, now all of a sudden, critics say that Yeezus was the album of the year. For those of us who, you know, want something a little more traditional from Kanye, yeah. I think he appeases us with this.
I agree. So basically it's the 808s formula.
You're talking about from 808s to
Dark Twisted Fantasy. Go left and then turn right back, you know.
Yeah. And kind of combine the two.
Right.
Combine the two because you know, Dark Twisted Fantasy was like 808s mixed with some other stuff. It had 808 elements in there.
A little bit. All right. Anything else you want to say about this show?
Nah, man.
We good? All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Hopefully you found the conversation interesting. And let us know what you think. You, again, use the hashtag #ClackRadioSpeakers. Tell us what you think about, you know, either Isaiah Rashad's album, Schoolboy Q's album, or this huge rambling conversation we just had about expectations and is there such a thing as a perfect album. And next week, you know, barring any sort of unforeseen circumstances. Sounds like we're going to be talking about two somewhat anticipated and very different albums.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to that. And anything else you want to plug?
Nah, just get your beanies at thisiskairos.com/merch. Other than that, see you guys Sunday, all TDE Sunday. All Sunday right. night, 10 p.m., 12 a.m., and then the replay again Monday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Perfect. All right.